Grace and peace to you all this morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Okay. Holy God, thank you for meeting us in this space today. Thank you for spring. Thank you for the need for fans. Thank you for each other. Thank you for this opportunity to come as we start the green portion of the year, as we start learning about you and your relationship with humanity and how we are to respond to you and to each other. We thank you for this time, this place, and these people, this opportunity. Amen.
The first reading is Genesis 1:1 through 2:4a, page 1 in your pew Bible, easy to find. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind, bearing fruit with a seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life. I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The second reading is from Matthew 28, 16 through 20, which is page 812 in the Pew Bible, the commissioning of the disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The end of the reading.
Well, today's sermon isn't so much a sermon as it is me geeking out because I love the Genesis passage. So we are going to talk a lot about Genesis. And we get confused because we don't still imagine the world in the same way. And so we have the Hubble telescope, and we have all the telescopes on Earth, and we have like measuring all the rays, and is it going further away or is it coming closer? I don't know. We figure all this stuff out. And so we know we have a solar system. We know we have a galaxy. We know we have a universe. And so we have lost over time the image of life, the image of how all of the world around us exists, that was present to those who were first hearing this story and for thousands of years. And so also, I didn't really think about it until I sat here this morning. These are interesting conversation points if you ever meet somebody who's a creationist and you're like, yeah, but do you look at it this way? I don't know. That was a thought in my head. So, sorry. There's actually two creation stories in Scripture. We read one this morning and then we sang the song of the other one. So the Garden of Eden is really, it's like they're like, well, we like both of them, so we're putting them both in there. And I think that's wonderful. We don't have to necessarily pick. We have two different interpretations of how the world started, how God created. So we've got this physical representation that is going on here. And I'm going not to read it again, but I'm going to go through. So if you want to pull out page one, we're going to go through and I'm going to rebuild for you what they thought this all looked like in their heads, right? So start off in your brain with the snow globe, okay? Not the ones with the base and the round thing. No, we're talking flat and then on top, okay? So hold that in your mind. So when God created the heavens and the earth, everything was a formless void covering the face of the deep, and the winds from God sweeping over the waters. So everything was just like celestial waters. You think of deep space, right, where it's just black and there's nothing there. That's kind of what we're talking about, except it's water, okay? It's chaos and water. So God created light and God created dark and separated them. Okay, I don't know how that looked, but we've got light and we've got dark. Then let there be a dome in the midst of the waters. Often that's dome is firmament. So if you ever hear that word, that's what that means. So God created a dome in the midst of the waters and let it separate the waters. So we've got our big dome here. The waters were out on top of this, and then the waters were underneath. So we're talking like, when you imagine like underwater cities, or if we're going to go to the moon or another planet, we're going to build our own little biome. All right, you with me? Okay. No? Okay. So, no, it's good. So, this is where I really wish I had a whiteboard. It's the only time I wish I had a whiteboard. So everything was water, and then God put in the middle of it like a pocket and created air inside of it that's flat on the bottom, dome on the top, and that's the beginning. So there was this open availability, a pocket in the midst of all. It's kind of like the atmosphere up above protecting the earth a little bit. So God just created this open space in the middle of the chaos and the waters. Okay? Kind of. Okay, we'll draw it later. Okay. So inside this dome, we've got the waters on the top, the waters down below, and we've got this dome. Inside the dome, God said, let the waters under the sky be guests. So the flat part here, so the sky was created. Let the waters under the sky be concentrated and then put land in there. So that's when the water all went into one place, the land went into another place. So we have Lake Superior, we have the oceans, we have the land. And so we've separated that out. And then vegetation came on top of that. And then we had lights in the sky. So imagine you have this dome. And so the sun came in through holes in it, and the moon was created over here, and the moon shone in. And then the little spots in the sky that are stars are like probably like little fairy lights that God poked in. I don't know. So I was thinking about this on the way up. So you know how we have the Star of Bethlehem that sat over Bethlehem, and they're like, cool, I'm going there. We now know that stars are really far away, and that's a difficult thing to do. But if you think that the top of the sky is a dome, if God put a star right there in the dome, that would be directly over where Bethlehem was. So you see kind of the implications of the different worldview. Am I losing everybody? So we have all the lights in the sky, and then we have the living creatures that come into being. So I love that it talks about the monsters in the ocean. There are two things that we can give up. We're done with the drawing now. It's okay. You don't have to worry about that anymore. I know. It's all right. I can tell. The stress level is lowered. There's three more things in this scripture that I want to talk about. So if you go down to verse 26, where it talks about human beings. I don't know if you caught on to this. I think it's one of the coolest things in scripture. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness. Who is our? Who's us? I don't know. But I think it's really awesome that there is this concept that is left in here. And it's ancient and original because it makes no sense. When people went through and tried to clean it up, they would have changed it to singular as opposed to plural. So it could be that God is talking about the Trinity. I don't know. God could be talking about angels. God could be talking about other multiverses. I have no idea where this comes from. But to me, the implication of God creating in our image from us, from like a plural divine, is that that allows for more different images of God. So you are created in the image of God, even though you don't look like me, but I am too, because it's created after us. Does that kind of make sense? Right. So we can't say this is the one image of God, and so then this is the one humankind that looks like God. So everybody that we meet in this formulation, everybody that we meet is created in the different images of God. So we can't look at somebody and say, you know what, but you're not created in the image of God. Sorry, doesn't look like you. It creates a humility in us that we don't know. There's not one singular image. And I just find that fascinating and so liberating. And I love that we have no idea what it's talking about. I'm okay with that. I know I'm up here trying to explain things to you, but I really enjoy it when I just can't explain something. The next line goes into something else that I think is also really important and something that we absolutely still struggle with. So, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything. And it moves on down and it says that we are to subdue the earth and the plants and the living things, living creatures on it. So I struggle with, a lot of people struggle with, what does it mean when God says to have dominion over and to subdue? Because in a lot of instances, that means, according to human ears, I can do what I want. You will do what I want. Right? We see this in a lot of places. There was a Supreme Court case in the last week or so wherein they decided that unless it's attached to a large body of water, people can do whatever they want, businesses can do whatever they want to wetlands, to marshes. You don't need that. So we've decided that this particular natural phenomenon, we can have dominion over, and that's perfectly fine. Also, does anybody else remember the book The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein, where the tree is like, go ahead, use everything, take it all, I'll be fine, I love you, boy, I support you, and then the tree just ends up being a stump. I've always disliked that book. I think it's not a healthy relationship that the boy just takes and takes and takes throughout his entire life from the tree. Instead, my proposal, I guess my comfort level, is that instead of dominion and control and power and I get to decide what you, Earth, are going to be, I like to see it in terms of stewardship. Of this is God's planet, this is God's creation, and we are given the opportunity to take care of it. Questions as to what taking care of it means. So for me, this is my interpretation. You can go where you want. That's the cool part about the fact that we can all have our own experiences with scripture. I think of, especially since I'm from California, I think of controlled burns. So that the underbrush in the forests gets all burnt out and there is room for new life to grow, but also there isn't so much underbrush that when it does light on fire, it just destroys absolutely everything in its path. So it's a relationship. It's kind of like, you know what, we're going to release some of the pressure from what needs to be burned, and then we'll work together to make this a healthier environment for all the creatures and the plants. I also think of it in terms of agricultural development. I know there's a lot of conversation lately about genetically modified foods, but to be perfectly honest, most every food has been genetically modified. We wouldn't recognize an original banana or broccoli, or apparently original broccoli thousands of years ago was kind of inedible. But people over different generations have crossbred, or I don't know plants this well, but they've changed through manipulation of the seeds, they've changed the different plants such that they're more edible. Think of the potato and how there's like, I don't know, 400 kinds of potato. We don't even see most of them. But they were created by human beings in a working together kind of relationship. My favorite example is beavers. A lot of people don't like beavers, and it's because they can't control what the beaver does. But the beaver is like, excuse me, I'm going to make my own ecosystem here. Thanks very much. I'm going to block this up, and we're going to have all the water come back in, and then all the wildlife is going to come back in. And so there's the way that if this is my land and I get to control it, there's people who get frustrated with beavers. And then we have the opportunity to watch in the national parks wherein beavers are let back in. And all of a sudden, this dusty, dry area that had no wildlife within 3 years is teeming like a complete ecosystem because they let the beavers back in. All of a sudden, all this life has come back. And people were worried because there were too many deer or whatever, and they let the wolves back in, and all of a sudden, everything comes back into balance. So are we in control, or are we helping God with creation? The last one that I want to point out that I actually remembered as I was sitting down here, don't forget about that seventh day when God rested. We as humans have decided we're going to push ourselves as hard as possible and we're not going to take any time off. And I think all of us need blank space in our lives. It is that time. They have studied it. It is the blank moments of life when we're not really doing anything in particular and we're puttering around that we get creativity. And so if you sit down and you're like, I'm going to make a painting, well, then you're going to sit there and stare at it. It's the whole thing of, I'm going to write a paper, and you don't come up with it. But when you open things up to free time, then you get that creative spark. Moving into our gospel, we have the command from Jesus to go and baptize. The way that I hear that, to me, the most important part of baptism is adopting others into the family. So all y'all are my brothers and sisters because you're baptized and I'm baptized and we are siblings and that's amazing. Let's go find some more siblings so we can bring them in and promise to love them. That's the best part of the baptism for me, is that all those of us welcome that new person in and say, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to help you out. You got me and I've got you. That's my favorite part. The water's fun, but the promise, I think, is the most important part. And Jesus says, I am with you till the end of the age. And so we have our creation story, which is God with us from the incredible very beginning. And then we have Jesus saying, I, as God's representative, as God, am with you until the end of the age, always and forever, completely encompassed. So we are surrounded by God's creation. Can you wait until later, please? Cool, thank you. We are surrounded by God's creation. And not only are we passive participants in this, but especially because we were given dominion, we end up being co-creators. So in the story, in the creation story, we're saying you're here. God says you're here to help me with all the plants and the animals and the earth and each other. And then Jesus says, you are part of this new kingdom that I am creating. You are part of loving and caring for others. And it's not that you have to go out and baptize to win. It's not like there's hashtags of like, cool, I got 25. It's bringing people into the family. It's saying, I want to love you. I choose to love you. And I think that that's our response to all of this wonderful creation that God puts before us. Is to say, I want to love you back, whatever it is that comes in front of us and faces us. I want to be creative with you. I want to help you be more of who you are called to be. So as much as I adore knowing kind of what people were thinking of when they were first imagining the cosmos, to me it does all come down to God has with us, been with us always, always will be with us, is incredibly invested in what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen, and that we are called to be active participants in this. I have no idea why God trusts me or you or anybody, because I know I'm a hot mess, and I think everybody else is too. But God says, "You, I want you to come and help me. I want you. Can you come and help? Can you help me bring in brothers and sisters into the family? Can you help me take care of earth? I'm not a gardener. I don't get how to do that. I try. I kill them all. Y'all gardeners, can you help me out, please? I'll pet the kitties, okay?" It's sharing the love, sharing the presence of God that is in us and around us, always. I love creation in scripture and in life and in relationships. Thanks be to God for entrusting us with participating in creation as well. Dear ones, it doesn't matter if we're under a dome. It doesn't matter if we are part of the giant cosmos with a universe that is expanding beyond our capacity to understand how wonderful. We are gods. You are gods. And you are not just a recipient. You are called to work with God, which is scary and wonderful. Know that you always have been, always will be God's, as is everyone around you. No, you are created in the image of God, as is everyone around you. And may all of your moments be filled with wonder and praise. Thanks be to God. Amen.